But God raises up a deliverer and a man named Moses, and he sets them free from their bondage in Egypt. We would liken that unto salvation in the New Testament. Are you with me? They got their salvation, and so they came out of Egypt, but they went from Egypt to what's called the wilderness. Hello? Now, the wilderness was a place of preparation and discipleship so that they could go to the final destination that God had planned for them. So, salvation, wilderness, discipleship, so that they could take and inhabit and have possession of their promised land. You know about that. Well, in the New Testament, we have similar. We come to salvation. We have left Egypt. Then what we enter into is discipleship. That's why the assignment of the New Testament church is well identified in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, where it talks about go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all that I commanded you, and for them to observe all that I commanded you. Now, New Testament, salvation, discipleship. What discipleship's for is so that you leave your wilderness and get in your promised land. Hello? If you have not paid attention to discipleship, you're not in your promised land. Hello? Discipleship is huge. It's entirely important. The destination of God for His people is for Him to move among us, and He has. Sufficiently for salvation. More than likely, everyone in the room is saved. If not, you can be today. Stand up, could you please, Dylan? If you're here today and you're not saved, at the end of the service, see this man. I guarantee that he is an evangelist. He will share in simplicity with you, and you will be saved before you leave the building. Yes and amen? So, New Testament. Salvation, discipleship, promised land. What is the similarity of promised land from the Old Testament to the New Testament? In the New Testament, promised land is identified in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through about 17, where basically it says that we are to come into the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. That is spiritual maturity. Therefore, you are in your promised land. Are you with me? Now let's see if we can discover how we get that facilitated. Now the word response isn't in the King James Version. But there is a word, a Greek word, which is apologia. Compound word meaning apo, back, and logos meaning word. And what that means, if God reveals something to you, you speak back to Him. You answer back to Him. So it is indeed a response in that kind of way. Now let's talk about response for a minute. When your children, if you don't have little children now, and you had them in the past, you remember about this. And hopefully you taught them this, and it was typical in your house. When you said to Shorty, maybe one of your children had a nickname, you said, now, Shorty, when you get out the bread and the peanut butter, I want you to eat all you like and enjoy yourself. But honey, when you're done, you close up the bread and the peanut butter and you put them both back where you got them. What did he do? Well, before he left it out, there's something in between. And I know I could ask some here and you could give me the answer. He said, he had a response. He said, yes, Mama, I will. He didn't just look up from the table when you told him to put it away. He didn't just look up, give you a dull stare, did he? If he did that, you know he's not putting away the bread nor the peanut butter. A response always, always should follow a directive given, a response. And without a response, an action is not going to take place. Now, at the end of the service, we always have a a response invitation here. You ever notice that? Some of you thinking, well, I don't really understand that, so I don't see the point going up there every week. Shorty, put away the bread and the peanut butter. Yes, Mama. It's not some foolish thing that I put in the DNA of this place 30 years ago. God revealed to me, give the people an opportunity every Sunday to have a response to me. If the Word of God's been revealed and they've worshiped me and I'm in the house, give them an opportunity to respond. Because response is everything to God. He comes. He does what He does if we respond. Come on. If my dad would have given me a directive and I'd have just looked at him. Do you hear right there? That young man. His dad's sitting right here. That's his dad. You know he said, put away the peanut butter and jelly. Huh? And if you say, well, my dad only told me once. Oh. I know, I get it. Different generation. Well, we tell our kids 6-8 times. How's that working for you? If you take that with you into the presence of God, He's got to tell you 6 or 8 times the Holy Spirit's done gone. And your opportunity for that response and what it brings to you for God to come into your life and do what it is only He can do, you have missed. Some of you are thinking, well, are you mad? No, I'm not mad. I'm not angry. I'm passionate. I believe in these truths. I have lived by them for 45 years. And the blessing and the fruit of them is piled up beyond me. I'm not bragging. I'm just testifying. Hello? I could rattle off a bunch of facts, but I don't. Some of you think, well, maybe we could borrow some money from him. No, I don't borrow and I don't help others get in debt either. I might give you some. Really. You've seen me hand out some $100 bills here. Huh? Now let's get on with this. We're good there. So salvation requires just one response, just one time, and it's a done deal. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about the destination of God, the promised land. And we're going to read from Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And if it is disagreeable in your sight, he's speaking to the people of God that he was leading. This is Joshua. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today who you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He was dead set on that. Nothing was going to keep him from it. Now, here's the thing. If you go back to chapter 1, that was explained by God to Joshua. And God said to Joshua in chapter 1, look, do everything I've commanded. I mean right to the letter. Don't turn your foot to the right or to the left. If you do everything that I've commanded you, and you do it my way, it's all going to work. You'll go into this land that I have promised, and you'll take my people into this land as well. It doesn't say anything about, well, you know, if you're having a bad day, you don't have to put away the peanut butter and the bread. Just leave it out. Nobody's laughing now. That's not God. He doesn't work that way. He doesn't allow an excuse. You might be thinking, well, I thought God was merciful. Oh, He is. But He doesn't give excuses. And He doesn't receive any. He gives mercy because it's in Him to do it. And you don't have to offer an excuse. Hello? He's a good God. But what we've got to do if we want to enter the promised land is find the ways of God. So they already knew, they were informed, they were having trouble as they were going along, and they were communicating that to Him. And He reminded them of the decision they'd already made, and He testified to them of what He was going to do. You see, there's always a constant element present in every response opportunity, and it is the opportunity of reward. Abundance and blessing. If we respond rightly to God, He can honor that. He can bless that. He has promised that He will do that. It's guaranteed. Now, I took one of my granddaughters, 5 years old. Her name's Georgia. She came up with this idea for her and I to go on a date. She knows that her father takes her mother on dates. And so she asked me if I could take her on a date. This was maybe 2 months ago. So we went on a date. We had a wonderful time. She goes home. She's got a younger sister who's 3. Her name's Henny. She told Henny about what happened. And Henny saw the gifts and so forth that Georgia got on our date, which were rather extravagant and cost me a lot of money. I mean, one trip into the Disney department at JCPenney's, you know, one thinks when you're in JCPenney's, it's not going to cost a lot of money. But if you end up in the Disney department with a little girl that when she smiles at you and rolls those big blue eyes and says, Papa, can I have this and that and that and that? Yes, you can. Pull out the titanium American Express card and see if it starts humming. You know what I'm talking about. So Henny and I go on a date this last Wednesday, and I take her to McDonald's. She's a little, just 3, so I take her to McDonald's so she can play, you know, and she's having a big time in there. And I'm thinking about how God has blessed me. I almost got arrested. I'm sitting at the table, and I start crying. I got this 3-year-old little girl with me. And there's a bunch of mothers with their kids around that area. And they're looking at this old man sitting over there crying. They think maybe I'm losing my mind or something. Maybe we better call the police. Maybe he kidnapped that little girl. You know, nobody did that or said that. But I'm there and, you know, and this woman comes by to clean up and she looks at me like, I was just presence of God just wonderfully. And I'm not bragging about my grandchildren. I love them immensely. That doesn't mean they're special. You got yours and you love them. I just hope that you gain something out of this story. So I take her there. Then I take her over to the mall. And we head into JCPenney's. And I'm hoping we can get past the Disney department. We step through the door, we make about 3 steps, and she just ching. I mean, it's like they've got an internal radar. They know what they want, and when they know it when they see it. I know what I want, and it is Jesus Christ, crucified, dead, buried, resurrected, and manifest to me, calling me into salvation, ministering to me Sunday after Sunday through this brother and that brother, this voice, that sound. Hello. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm trying. She run right over there and grabbed up this headset, you know. She's going to have that headset. It was about $50. First thought I have is, oh, man. Then the second thought I had is, honey, you need something better than that. I said, okay. You hang on to that and come on. And let's look around. Keep it right with you. You don't want to put it down. So I find something else. And I show that to her. And I say, well, you'd like this better, wouldn't you? She responded, Yeah, I do like that better. She should take that and set this down. Then we go on. We just keep looking around. Well, I think you might like this, honey, better than that. She responds, Yeah, Pop. She put that down. We did that about 6 times. Till we got what was the best. God wants to get you to the best. And so He will keep giving you opportunity. But it all depends upon your response. If you don't respond, you don't get the best. And it isn't that He's a bad God. It has to be His way. It's His way. There's no other way, and He won't change it. Just because society wants to give everybody a first place prize when everybody wasn't first place. That's a tragedy. And it's foolishness. Being elected to the Congress and saying the country's no good, that's foolishness. I don't know who elected those people, but somebody ought to send them home. Because this can't be their home. And if you don't like what I'm saying, forgive me and love me anyway. Because the Bible says it is the truth that shall set you free. The truth is, it's going to have to be God's way. So we got the best gift. We took our walk through the mall. We enjoyed our lunch together. And going home, she in the back seat, she kept saying, well, when are we going on our date, Pop? I'm thinking, honey, we've been 2.5 hours and walked 40 miles and spent $100. The expectation. She was full of expectation, hoping she would get another response opportunity. Are you hoping that you will get another response opportunity? Hello? If you can get just one more, and if you know how to respond, oh, glorious is it. Isn't it, Jesse? I could say something about your life, but it's real personal. Jesse and Miley are a wonderful couple and great leaders here. People who love to sacrifice their time and energy, and they know how to respond. And God has blessed them with a child when they didn't expect it. Huh? Yes, Lord, yes. You figure out how to respond to Him now. Here's the thing. Every response opportunity is worthy of it. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and kill and to rob and destroy. And my question would be, what is it the devil's trying to steal? He's trying to steal your response. He's trying to inhibit your response. You know, we have trouble believing. And so we don't respond. Look. Response comes first. Obedience doesn't necessarily require faith. It's better if you have faith to obey. But I obey because I love Jesus Christ. He has proven Himself to me. Sometimes an opportunity comes from Him that is bigger than I can comprehend. But I respond. I have learned to respond. It is critical. We can all learn to respond. So the point of this series, and I'm going to speak on this again next Sunday as well. Salvation requires one response. Abundant life requires a series of responses, and maybe numerous responses in the same area. Are you with me? Abundant life is conditional. Salvation is conditional to you believing and asking Christ to be Lord and Savior. Once it's done, it's done. Abundant life and abundant living is a different matter. It's discipleship. Hello? You with me? Remember what God told Joshua. Now, James 4:17, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. If the right thing is to always respond to God, never give him a dull stare and tell him to put away the peanut butter and the bread himself, that's your job. Oh, don't let him do that. John 3:36, and here's proof of what I'm saying. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. You see, salvation is done. It's eternal, but life in abundance requires a proper response over and over and over. You hearing me? Too many Christians are getting saved but not discipled. Too many Christians are not learning to give God a response, so therefore they do not mature, and they wonder why nothing in life flourishes, and all that happens is one problem after another. It has to be His way. Matthew 5:37, Jesus said, but let your statement or your response be yes or no. Anything else is evil. We give him a response. Now, what areas of life does this proper response apply to? Every area. Something I learned when I became a Christian is that the Word of God was full of answers to God's will and God's ways in one's life. So I devoured the Word of God, and everything there I found that I could understand, I responded to, and I applied it in my life. First, consider speech. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only that which is good for edification to the ears of the hearer. Hello? And it goes on saying more, that if you do that, life's going to be good for you. That requires a response if you're still just shooting off at will. That you didn't give a proper response that you stuck to. I suggest that you repent and go back to the proper response. Thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we're taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ. I quote that to people oftentimes when they're in trouble and they say to me, yeah, but you don't understand. I don't. I've been there and done that, and I didn't get my T-shirt. I didn't keep my thoughts captive, and I was overwhelmed and overcome. And when I was in trouble just before I got saved, I was contemplating suicide. That was 45 years ago. But I learned to keep my thoughts captive to in obedience to Jesus Christ. And my life turned around and became blessed because I got saved and started discipleship. Hello. And I learned that response is ultimately important. Discipline. Hebrews 12:11, for the moment of all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Marriage. Colossians 3:18, 19. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Yeah, but you don't understand. Yes, I do. I've been married 52 years. My wife and I had a little fuss last night. We were going to visit some friends, and she had her GPS going on her phone, and I had my GPS going on my truck, and they were in conflict with one another, and it got off on us. But we repented. Finances, Proverbs 22:7. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. Hello? Eliminate debt. Eliminate debt. have a vision of being debt-free, owing on nothing. No depreciating debt. Cars depreciate. Pay cash for them. Real estate doesn't depreciate. It increases in value. You could stand a mortgage there, but it would be better to eliminate. Humility. Proverbs 22:4. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. You're no big deal. You never will be. Hello? What you're trying to do in response to Jesus Christ is to become less, not more, so that He would increase in you. And then you'll live the abundant life. Making sense? Do we give Him a response? Now the question I want to ask, do you know all of these ways of the Lord? If you don't know them, you can't respond to them. You can't say yes to them. You cannot act upon them. You cannot employ them in your life. You have to know them. Hello? Hello? Do you know them? You know some. Do you know enough? Well, there was four people said yes there. Know them all! How much abundance do you want? Then know the ways of God. Let me conclude with this. What's the motive? Well, how about the subject of life in general? Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every decision, every action. Can you put His name on it? Now, what's the motive of having such a high value for response to the Lord? Matthew 22:37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. In other words, you will know my ways and you will respond to my ways because you love Him. If you choose to obey Him and respond to Him because you're needy, that's not a bad thing, but it's insufficient. Because in our own selfishness, we'll do the wrong thing. But love conquers a multitude of sins. Love never fails. Now, really concluding, how mature can we be and should we be in our response to God? The book of Deuteronomy, when you go home this afternoon, please read Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 to 20. I guarantee you it won't be boring. But I conclude with this. How do you get there to being a great responder? First, ask the Spirit to convict you that you need to do that. And then begin to seek as much as you can. Deuteronomy 8:6. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord to walk in His ways and to fear Him. You've got to know them to keep them. Next, responding and acting on the commandments are needed and necessary. How does proper response and abundant promise come together? Number one, you must know and remember who God is to you. To forget His ways, to not know God's principles about finance, God's principles and directives about marriage, is to forget Him. That's how He views it. If you don't know His ways, He considers that you don't know Him. The two are inseparable. Now, I see you sitting there, some of you saying, well, I know God, but I don't know all that. Yes, you're right. You know God for salvation. But God's plan is and has been to mature you, to disciple you in His ways so that you would respond to Him and He could release on you abundant life. He wants you to enter your promised land. Are you tracking with me? He wants that for you as much or more as you want it for yourself. And what it means by abundant life is not just money. Most people think, oh, I'm going to be rich then. Not necessarily. It's not about only material things, although it is inclusive of material things. It's spiritual depth is what's most important. Relational things. Being 71 now, I can still remember how old I am. You start thinking about your mortality. I have an aunt that I visited just recently in Michigan on vacation. She's 94. She looks 50. She gets a new car every 12 months, and she drives like a race car driver. She still lives in her own farmhouse on her farm. She had 9 children, and those 9 have produced 120 great and great-great grandchildren. She is a happy camper. She has her devotional time every day with the Lord Jesus Christ. She read the Word of God every night when I was a boy and I would be in her house. Her 9 children and me would be on the floor there, and she wouldn't let me run home. It was just about less than a quarter of a mile away. She wouldn't let me go till she read the Word of God over us all. And then she said, now, honey, you can go home. And sometimes she said, you can stay the night if you like. There wasn't enough beds for all the bodies as it was, but that didn't make any difference. You understanding what I'm trying to say? Now, my other aunt, she's got a sister. She's only 97. Her hair hadn't turned gray yet. She's living fine. Get yourself a vision. If you honor God, He'll honor you. Hello? Deuteronomy 8:11. Beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, ordinances, and statutes. God considers that if you don't know His ways, and if you're not responding appropriately to His ways, you have forgotten Him. Hello? Because to know His ways and to keep His ways is not just remembering those facts, but is remembering Him. Now, really, Deuteronomy 8:18, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Covenant, yeah. I call it the covenant of the two R's. The covenant of remember and respond. The covenant of remember and respond. The covenant of remember and respond. Next Sunday, I'm going to ask you what the two R's stand for. I hope that a majority are going to be able to say, remember and respond. If you get this, your life is forever changed. And if you're young, you don't have to go the way of the world's young. Could we stand? Could we bring the lights down? I have 3 questions for your response. Do you understand how ultimately important your response to God is? Would you be willing to commit this morning to seek God's ways in all things and learn to respond to Him appropriately? And 3, will you cultivate a high value for knowing, remembering, and responding to God's ways? If you can respond to any one or all 3 of those, would you come and join me? I hope some will come that haven't come in the past. We're going to worship Him for a bit.